Happy Wednesday. Welcome back to another episode of Morning Coffee. My name is Rick Alexander. I am the host of the Morning Coffee podcast. And today I'm featuring an interview with Justin Shank, who is the host of the podcast Growth Now Movement, rated as a top podcast by Inc. Magazine. And he's also the host of the world-renowned event, Growth Now Movement Live. So we have an incredible conversation about the things that transpired in Justin's life and what led him to the realizations that ultimately led him to the business that he owns now and this entrepreneurial life. And so we just have a really open and candid conversation about some of the decisions that you have to make and some of the fears that you're strapped with as you try to pivot in life and do something that's different, which is, of course, probably one of my favorite things to talk about, because I think so many of us are trapped behind, you know, the thoughts that we choose to believe and the limits that we choose to adhere to. So this is a great conversation about someone who has really taken tragedy in his life and learned to overcome some of those limits. He's also got a mastermind, which he's offering all of the listeners of this show 30 free days in, and I will have that linked up in the show notes of this episode as well. So if you're interested in following him more, of course, check out his podcast, Growth Now Movement. And then also, if you want to work with him, check out the No Strings Attached offer to join his mastermind. All right, without further ado, on to the show. Justin, thanks for joining me, buddy.
Yeah, Rick, I'm excited for the conversation, dude. Just really, really happy to be here.
It's incredible, man. I'm like looking at your office right now, and I'm seeing some of the names that you've had on your podcast, right? I think it would be easy for us to talk about the fact that this podcast has been successful. Most podcasts don't get over 90%, actually, don't get past episode 12, right? So for some reason, you've decided to keep going, to slog away. But based on your world and the world that you're looking through, the lens you're looking through, what are some of your favorite parts of your business and what you've built in the last few years?
I mean, for me, it's the relationships. You know, the one thing that we get this opportunity to do through podcasting, as we're staring at each other face to face through Zoom, or if I do it in person, which is a rarity, but at those times, it's an intimate conversation to truly connect with individuals who have a purpose and a story and they want to help. And so in this thing for me, I mean, obviously it's amazing. I mean, I get amazing messages every single day from my listeners and I love hearing from them. But for me, it's been the relationships that I've been able to build with people that 4 years ago, I'd look at it and be like, oh my gosh, to be in that space, to be understood, to be heard, to be whatever, because they're people that I've admired. To be able to build friendships and partnerships and all the things from that standpoint on a real genuine level, meaning like we connect as human beings versus just some odd passing by and we become buddies for whatever reason, has been my favorite part of everything that I've built out. And obviously from that, it's led to so many great opportunities as well.
Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about what does your business look like, just for the listener to get an idea of course we have the intro, but give a little idea of like what the different arms of your business looks like.
Yeah. I'm glad you asked that, because I actually just had a conversation with my girlfriend. We're moving into a new neighborhood. And so you move into a new neighborhood and your neighbor's like, what do you do? And I'm like, I don't really know. I usually get introduced. Right. So it's like, if I get introduced, I don't have to say it.
Then I'm not.
And I said to her, I was like, what do I say? Do I just say I'm a podcaster? And she's like, well, you run a podcast production company. I go, yeah, but that's not really exciting. I don't like, what else do you do? Well, I'm a speaker too. And I facilitate a mastermind and I do all, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, for me, I like to say that I'm a podcaster and a connector. And I say that I have the superpower is I get to connect incredible people with other incredible people. And then that leads to great opportunity. But realistically, what I do is I'm a podcaster. I host a podcast that does fairly well. I was fortunate enough that Inc. Magazine listed it as a top 8 podcast every entrepreneur should follow. And that kind of blew up from there, which led into a podcast production and coaching company organically, which I still run today. I host a live event called Growth Now Movement Live, which is a self-development entrepreneurial event with incredible speakers. And, you know, mutual friend of ours, Justin Wren, is a speaker this year. And I facilitate a mastermind for people who are looking to build platforms and grow their business and all that stuff. So obviously multiple arms that all lead into one thing, which is the idea of growth. And how do I continue to grow in all areas of my life? Whether it be business, relationships, health, how do I continue to live a better life than I did the day before? And so that's kind of the umbrella of everything that I've built out over the last 4 years.
Yeah, dude, I love that you said that because yesterday me and my girlfriend were looking at a new place to rent. We're getting ready to move. And the lady asked me what I do. And I'm like, oh, geez, because she wants a good tenant like that can pay their bills. And I'm like, well, I have some ideas I'm working on. You know, that's the reality of it. Like, I've got some projects in mind. So look, we live in a world right now where, and now it's like, great, right? So you can totally see that this is true. The world's always unfolding differently. Right now, we've got a lot of people that were clinging to, it was dying, but that traditional route, college, career, partner, retirement, kind of die, like that cycle has been pulled away from a lot of people. And have you always been comfortable conceptualizing your life, conceptualizing success as, well, I got some things that I'm working on, or like, what has that process been like? Because clearly this, now all of a sudden people like that, like people like you are in a really good position because you've always been doing this, right? Yeah, the world's changing and yeah, I'm the guy that adapts. Let's talk about when that started. Like, was it easy for you to start down this entrepreneurial journey? Because I think a lot of people are stuck because they just don't have that roadmap to follow.
Yeah, so it was a long journey that the progress happened really quickly. So the idea of entrepreneurship got introduced to me when I was 19 years old. I was working for a direct marketing company. I was selling Cutco knives. They did really, really well, became a manager with the company. But this idea of being able to build your own schedule, create your own life, help other people in the process really kind of lit a fire in me. But it took a long time to figure out what the vehicle was for me to be able to do that. And so I had tried a couple different businesses in the past. I've had 3 failed businesses, but at the same time, I always had that security net of a corporate job. So I did work a corporate job. I did fairly well in medical sales, and I was comfortable. I could have just lived that life, but I was missing something, right? Mm-hmm. And I just knew that there was something missing in my life. And I realized what that was having a voice to help other people realize that it doesn't matter where you come from. What matters are the choices you make today to build a better tomorrow. And so I was like, let me start a podcast for fun. It was like, let me start a podcast. I've gone down this entrepreneurial journey road, and maybe I'll learn from incredible entrepreneurs during that time and I'll implement it and start plugging away. Fast forward, it became a business. But the reality was, I realized that from 19 to 30, all I was doing was learning and lighting this happy spark inside of me when it was self-development events and books and whatever, podcasts and all this stuff. And I wasn't taking the action. The thing that was missing for me was the action that was taking. So long journey that all the action happened really, really quickly. So I went from, okay, I'm going to make this a business to it being more money than I've ever made in my life within 6 months. And so it was this kind of crazy thing, but it was that compound effect of, 11 years of learning and growing and implementing and then slowly implementing at the end. And so that for me is kind of that journey of entrepreneurship. Now I will say this, I also realized that my failed businesses in the past was because I chased money. I chased trying to replace the security of a biweekly paycheck as an entrepreneur, and it doesn't work that way. When I let go of all that, the money started to flow, and now I have more money in a bank account that I'm like, wait, what do I do with this? You know what I mean? And so all of a sudden it lives in a different cycle. Money comes differently, and you kind of have to accept that.
Yeah, you can't live in a different role as the same person, right? That's massive, because that happens. Just because you got comfortable living in the world in one certain way, if you want something new, you got to live in a new way, which means getting right. That's most people like to get, what I've found is they like to get uncomfortable. That's where growth happens, right? In only ways that they're comfortable with, which stops them from actually growth. But how uncomfortable was that? Just coming to terms with the fact that your money doesn't come every 2 weeks.
Dude, it's crazy for me. Even now when I look back and I go, that was like a trap for me, right? Like I was like trapped in this cycle of this every 2 weeks a paycheck, and I made really good money in corporate, and I live paycheck to paycheck because that security, they was like, okay, cool. Another check. I know it'll be there. I'll be fine. And another check. I'll know I'll be there. It'll be fine. And then you realize like, that's no way to live. Like that's living in a scarcity mindset. And so I share a story. Actually, the last job I ever had, I actually got fired from. And so I got fired from the last job I had. And right afterwards, I accepted a speaking engagement down in Florida. This is before I got paid to speak. And so I had to pay my way, buy my flight, book the hotel, do all that stuff. And the whole time I was like, I don't know if the next time they swipe my credit card on this trip, if it'll go through. Like, I had no idea. But I chose to live in this abundance mindset and show up and be a part of the game where I need to be a part of the game. And a bunch of the speakers went out for a drink the one night, and there was this guy there named Mike Kim. And Mike Kim is like a world-renowned copywriter, writes for like John Maxwell and all these people. And he orders a $65 drink. And so they go around the table and everybody orders the same thing. And it comes to me, the last guy at this round table, and I go, I guess I'll have the same thing, thinking, holy crap, I hope my credit card goes through. Bartender comes back and says, hey, can I get you guys anything else? I'm like, please just get out of here. Mike goes, I'll have another one. They went around the table. Everybody ordered another one. And I was like, I'll have another one. So now it's $130. And I'm like, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to pay rent this month, but I need to be here. There's a reason I need to be here. I'm going to live in abundance. This is good. It'll all come back to me, et cetera. Mike Kim ended up paying for everybody's drinks. But the point of the story is that he said something to me that completely shifted my mindset. And in the next three weeks, I made $20,000.
Whoa.
And so I went, okay, I went from earning almost nothing to where I was a little afraid to pay rent to I just made $20,000 in 3 weeks with one mindset shift. I will live in abundance no matter what I'm doing, no matter where I am, and I will continue to show up because that's where the magic happens. And so I learned that lesson very, very quickly, that security is not the place to be for anybody. Mm-hmm. And you have to set yourself up for success, and that's by being in the right room.
So what did he share?
With podcast production, which is what I was trying to build out, he goes, you're playing in a game of going broke. You need to shift who you're marketing to. And I shifted who I'm marketing to, and I got into consulting. And so I landed two consulting gigs within 3 weeks and a couple of new clients as well. And it just completely shifted everything. And so that's why I don't really say, it's weird for me to say, oh, I own a podcast production company or coaching uh-huh. company, because it doesn't really play on the same level as those other companies that are doing. It's just a different approach.
Totally. I mean, you started playing offense, right? Most people are trying to get rich by not going broke. Those are different strategies. Offense and defense yeah. are different animals. So that's great. I also, a couple of things from your story that I think are worth pointing out. One, every overnight success is 10 years in the making. You know, that's so easy to convince ourselves. When you were in that 10 years in the making, did you find yourself falling into that comparison game with other people that were finding success?
All the time. And it was from a space of bitterness too. I'd see and I was like, why are they, like, what are they doing? Like, I don't get it. Like, why can't I have
always
that?
Yeah.
I realized in my life, it's because I wasn't ready for it. Like, if I had the success that I have now 4 years ago, I would have been spoiled. I would have thrown it down the drain. I would have been grateful. I wouldn't have been able to build the things that I'm building now. I mean, so much work has gone into me living the life that I live now in this constant growth mindset, constantly improving. You know, I always say that I live in a world of 1%. So my goal is to grow 1% every single day. In some area of my life, whether that's my relationships, whether that's my business, my health, whatever the case may be, my job is to grow 1% every single day. But I look back and I go, I've thought that for so long, and it took me this long to be ready for the success that has come. And honestly, like, I'm so grateful for those moments because they were all teaching me, don't be bitter, be grateful. Totally. All these things that happen over and over again. And dude, I was the most bitter dude on the planet. If somebody had success, I was like, I hate you for no reason.
Right, right.
That's crazy.
Damn, that is great. I also love that you talked about, you know, you were living paycheck to paycheck, even though you're making so much money. So it's like, you know, there's a lot of people that are, you know, multiple six-figure earners that can't just get off the hamster wheel. They're stuck like someone that's making 30 grand a year. And that realization for me was pretty massive. Cause it's like, I don't know, but did it take you a long time to be okay with the other way, or was it pretty quick once you adjusted?
No, it was quick, and it was nice because I went, holy crap, I have more, even after those 3 weeks, I went, I have more money in my bank account right now than I've ever had. Right. And so it creates this security, but then mm-hmm. I also know that it can dry up. So it continues to, I continue to stay in that, okay, push yourself no matter what's in the bank account mindset. Because part of my life as a child, we were broke. I mean, I've watched my mom's car get repossessed and all these things. And mm-hmm. so I think a mixture of holy crap, I can get used to this because there's money in my bank account and this can never end because I've seen the depths of being truly broke. And I don't want that. And those two roads kind of converged finally, right? And so the scarcity was I could never quit my job at first, but now it's like, okay, cool, I can never have this dry up. So it was a really, really quick shift for me, having that money in the bank account and then the weight just lifting off my shoulders, me being like, okay, I'm good. Like you're good enough. You're deserving enough of this. Now let's move forward and grow this thing.
Totally. I wanted to point that out because I do believe there's a lot of people that are wearing the golden handcuffs. I re-enlisted in the military because I couldn't let go of that 2 week. And I regretted it 6 days after I re-enlisted, which was like my first, okay, and then you got 4 more years, guy. That was like my realization, never do it for the money. You cannot, you'll be miserable. But then also I was so interested because it was only 2 months, I think, when I finally did get out and I adjusted to like, I had to just get my shit together. That's what it came down to. I had to like save. I had to like be prudent. I had to follow all the leads, all the emails, you know? And so I think that's not a bad thing, you know? And I had been resisting it for so long. And so I wanted to point that out for people that are stuck right now. Like, I can't leave the safety. It's like, you'll adjust rather quick. And then I had the thought of, why didn't I do this when I was 19? What have I been doing?
You know, yeah, of course you need like, why didn't I figure this out before? Yeah.
Totally. And you needed all the things you went through. You know, I do believe that because it's who you are. The other thing though, that you had said when you started the podcast, you kind of came to terms with what's the minimum, you know, that I think that's important. Cause it's like, if you were only going for the money again, you'd be unhappy. But the minimum was, well, you start to, I think you had mentioned, well, then I talk to a whole bunch of people about how to build a business and I connect and I build relationships. And I think it was coming to grips with that minimum that allowed you to actually be happy with what you got.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I live, there's a quote that says something along the lines of like, always be happy, but never satisfied. Mm. Right. And so it actually was a moment in my life when I realized that life is so much more than chasing things and chasing, you know, accolades and money and these things. And it was my rock bottom moment is actually when my mom lost her 20-year battle to opioid addiction. And I was in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, actually planning out the podcast and recording the original intro and doing all that stuff. And I got that phone call. Nobody wants to hear us. My sister, she called and said, the doctor says you need to come. And it was a 7.5-hour drive down to South Jersey from Cape Cod, Massachusetts. And I walk into the hospital room and she was intubated in the bed. The nurse had already said she's not going to live. And I said to her, I don't know what it looks like, but I promise you I'll make you proud. And there was this instant thought process of life has nothing to do with outside things. It's all inward. Because my mom didn't die from an opioid addiction. She died because she didn't like herself. And so how do I enjoy the journey, even when there's times where I'm not loving the journey? How do I enjoy the moments and be happy with what I have versus trying to fulfill something that somebody else told me I needed to do? And it was just this weird, overwhelming thing. And actually, if you go early on into the podcast, I had a co-host for the first 62 episodes. Mm. And he would talk about business and I would talk about, well, how did you overcome those adversities? How did you build that life even though, or in spite of, you know, and I would ask actually very early on, there's a lot of questions about self-love and trying to navigate that. And you know, being okay with the minimum for me was really like, look, like my podcast, my audience is the most important thing to me when I think about my podcast, but these conversations are for me too. Like even till 300 episodes in, like I'm still having conversations for me. Like, how can I learn? How can I take something away? Like you were just on my show and I talked about, or you talked about something that I was like, oh my gosh, like that's mind blowing. I'm kind of going to steal it and start using it because it was so good. And there's just this constant learning process for me. And it's funny because I was such a terrible student in school, but I feel like I'm a student every single day now. And the reality was like, I had all these limiting beliefs that were put on me by society, right? I had these limiting beliefs that I had to get a job. I had to get that safety net of that paycheck every 2 weeks. And, you know, I had to go follow this path. I had to wear a shirt and tie every day. And these limiting beliefs that were put on me. And the reality was when I finally let go of those limiting beliefs and I got fired from my last job. Here's the cool part about that story. Got fired from my last job. Since then, they've brought me back to speak to the company and incredible. They paid me more per minute than they used to pay me per hour.
Amazing.
And the reality was, it's because I let go of the limiting beliefs that were holding me back. And all of a sudden like you said, those golden handcuffs were off and the world was my oyster. I could do whatever I wanted, but you have to be able to break that cycle. And that took time.
Yeah. One of the things people don't realize is when you let go of the thought, they let go of you. When you had this moment, which is incredibly, I really just touching, honestly, this moment where I don't know what this looks like, but I'm going to make you proud, right? Sort of, I see that. I like to think about the hero's adventure, the hero's journey. I write about it and analyze it a lot. Sort of that's you kind of saying yes to the call, whatever the call is, you know? But that's when the real work starts. So can you talk to me a little bit about that? Like, so now you're like, okay, I'm following something, but you don't really know what it is. You admit it. I don't know what this looks like. How do you start making sense of that reality?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think everybody has a hero's journey, right?
Totally.
And the world kept trying to put it in front of me my whole entire life. At 12 years old, I broke both my hips. That was number one. At the same time, my parents were going through a terrible divorce. You know, my mom started battling opioids when I was 12 years old. My dad went to jail. I was failing in school. Like all these signs, right? All these signs of like, dude, just pay attention. What's the world teaching you? And I kept ignoring it. And it was that moment where I was like, there's just no more ignoring, that something needs to be done. Cause I was fortunate enough to continue to grow and get better. Now how do we help other people? I will say this though, you talk about, okay, now the real work begins, right? So this moment happened. And part of this whole entire journey was I went through a 3-month bender where I was blackout drunk 6 nights a week, right after my mom passed away. I was depressed. I was, because my mom was my best friend. She was my rock, even though she couldn't keep her own life together. And I was depressed and I was numbing the pain every single day. And the real work happened on a day. I had a relationship coach because relationships were something I was really, really bad at. And I hired a coach to help me navigate that. And she called me one day and she said, Justin, what are you doing tonight? And I was like, I'm going out with a bunch of my friends. And she goes, no, you're not. She's like, you're going to sit in your shit and you're going to feel it. And that night emotionally was one of the worst nights of my life. I cried. I was in pain. I was in all the things. I felt all the feelings. But I woke up the next day and this weight was lifted off my shoulder. And I realized in order to carry the weight of sharing this story, having this podcast to potentially be a success because it wasn't at the time, all these things, like in order to do that, I needed to feel my own pain and then begin the healing process. You know, I believe that the wounds that we have are there to teach us a lesson. Hmm. And then it's the scars that we have that are to teach other people lessons. We have to go through our own pain and heal before we go become a teacher. And there's so many people in this world now that have these open wounds and they're trying to be teachers during that process. And it's kind of scary. But I say that tongue in cheek because I was trying to be that person. I had these open wounds that I had to heal and go through before I became somebody who spoke on these types of topics. And so for me, I mean, it was a painful 3 months. And then beyond that, there was still work to be done. But it was an interesting process because it was just, again, living in that 1%. How do I get 1% better today? And I've done that in many ways, you know, hiring mentors and coaches and being part of masterminds and being in the right room at the right time has been a massive like nod to, okay, dude, like just keep moving forward. You're going to be okay.
Yeah. Looking for those little signs and synchronicities and okay. Yeah. I'm on the right path. Kind of. That's massive. You know, when I was on your show, one of the things I talked about was like in Western culture, we just tend to believe we have to keep grinding. And so one of the shadows of that behavior is when you have an emotion, you think you have to do something about it, but you don't. You have to feel it, which is the opposite of doing something about it, which is so, so damn difficult for us. But then once you do, you will find that it moves through you, not quickly, but rather quickly, far quicker than the years you could spend holding on to it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that same coach said to me one day, I was going through some stuff and she's like, how are you feeling right now? She's like, I'm like, I'm angry. I'm pissed. And she's like, and that's okay. And it was like this, like, it was the first time somebody told me it was okay to feel something other than happy. Like it was a weird like moment. Right. And she goes, look, you have every right to be angry as you do happy. You just can't be an asshole. Yeah. Like my anger was turning me into an asshole was part of this story. But the reality was like, oh my gosh, when I went, but the weird part was once I got permission, I was like, oh damn. And now I give myself permission to feel whatever I'm feeling. But not necessarily react. The problem is we always react.
Totally. Do you have, you know, on your journey now, you know, obviously been some time since then. You've got these events that just sound killer, honestly. And you've got the podcast. I'm looking at all the cool guests you've had behind you. Are there some, but I also know that for 30 years, you patterned a certain way of thinking. And so I also know that, like, when you do something for 30 years, that pattern's deep, right? Do you have any tools or tricks that you can use to, I say tricks, but just habits, whatever, something, some go-to that you use if you start finding yourself fall back into old patterns of thinking or living within limiting beliefs? Is there something you use to kind of pull yourself out of the muck that everybody goes through?
Yeah. So there's an exercise that I don't think it's technically called this. Like, I loved having you on the podcast because you're like, this book titled this by this author. I'm totally not that guy. I'm like, there's this thing. It's like the seven layers of why, right? And so there's an exercise you can walk through to get to the seventh layer of why you're doing something. And that's the true meaning behind everything that you're doing. And that's what ties to the emotion and all those things. And so there was the seventh layer of why of what I'm doing, because there's massive imposter syndrome that I have at times, because I'm just some, you know, I still kind of at times go, I'm that loser 1.7 GPA kid with the mom with an opioid addiction, et cetera. Mm. But then I find myself in rooms with people that I've admired and whatever. And so I tie back to the seventh layer of why to continue to show up, because when I do get in those moments of like self-deprecation, I can very easily fall back into, I'm just going to sit and watch Netflix or play a video game or do whatever instead of continuing to take action. And I tie it back down to the reality that I've had about 5 or 6 people reach out to me now and say, because of your podcast, I decided not to take my life. And so I have to constantly show up, and I have to constantly keep improving everything that I'm doing, not only for myself, but for anybody else who tunes in, even if it was one person that was tuning in, you know, there's a reason that I have to continue to get better. There's a reason I have to continue to share this story. And there's a reason that I have to keep building my success, because I realize that the more success I have, the more lives I could touch. Mm. And so the more lives I'm touching, the more lives I'm saving, the more impact that I'm making for the people that need it. And so there are moments that I slip up. I mean, this quarantine is shown me plenty, right? But at the same time, when I go and I take a deep breath and I'll do a quick meditation practice and I'll reground in my seventh layer of why, and I'll be like, look, okay, now it's time to keep moving forward. Even when you don't want to, when you tie it to that depth, that's when everything begins to move forward, almost subconsciously.
Mm. So when you say seventh layers of why, you just ask why, right? Seven times.
Yeah.
Like, so for the money, why? Right? Like that kind of logic.
Correct. Yeah. So it's like, oh yeah, for the money. Well, why the money? Because I want to support my family. Well, why do you want to support your family? Well, because my family didn't support me in the way that I thought. Why didn't they? And you essentially break it down, and it really gets to a real deep emotional process. I really recommend, when you do it, obviously you can do it yourself. You can write it down. But I also really believe in like doing it with a coach.
Yeah.
Because when it's that back and forth, there's a little bit more push to get you to the real reason. Like, I've done it with actually just a friend who I also look at as a mentor. But it was one of those things where I was like, this is the eye-opening experience that I needed to continue to move forward, even when I wanted to fall back into that safety net.
I love that. So we mentioned right now that obviously pandemic, things are wrong. There's no question. Lots of things are wrong. You had to cancel one of your big events or move it, right? And mm-hmm. that's even a hope, because we have no idea what the future looks like. Right. What are you the most excited about right now, as far as opportunities that you're seeing or things that you're doing?
Yeah, I'm excited. For me personally, I'm yeah. excited for the time that I get now to create new content. You know, taking a new approach to spreading a message. That's been really, really fun. Like, I got my first little glimpse of like viral stuff on Facebook, which was cool. Like, I did something that got like 19,000 views, almost 200 shares. And for me, that's big. Like, my social media is worse than my podcast itself. So as far as like listenership and viewership. So that was exciting from the standpoint of like, okay, cool. Like, this makes sense. Now I need to think a little bit deeper into what am I creating and why. So I was excited about that. I actually launched a mastermind with a mutual friend, Mark Crandall. Really excited about that, because we're helping people shift during this time, right? So we're given opportunities in the worst moments at all times, right? So what is the opportunity that this pandemic is giving anybody? And I see all these businesses that are stuck in their ways that, you know, if I think about brick and mortars and I think about, you know, retail, dude, you're losing that battle to Amazon. Right now is your opportunity to pivot and see how you can continue to stay afloat, because Amazon's coming for your pandemic or not.
Yeah. Right?
And so what's the opportunity this time is now giving you to take a step back and reflect, right? This is also giving people a lot of opportunity to understand, hey, am I happy in this relationship? And if I'm not, what can I do to fix it? Most people go, well, I'm not happy, so I'm leaving. How about what can I do to fix this? Like, what can I do to help myself to get better, to be better for this relationship? So I'm excited for all that stuff. I'm seeing all the positives. For me, honestly, I've been really lucky from a business standpoint. It hasn't affected my business at all. But I've been able to step back and reflect more into, okay, what's the next phase of what it is I'm putting out. And yeah, of course, if it moved my event, but it's not the end of the world. Like, I'll adjust, right? And so that's just all part of everything that we're doing. But I'm excited for opportunities that it's creating, for sure.
That's incredible. Something I heard on your show that I'm going to steal right away for this episode, which is asking how people can support you and follow you before the final question. I like that. So how can people support you and follow you along with your journey?
Yeah, man. So they can obviously, wherever they listen to this podcast, they can go search Growth Now Movement, check it out. They can check out your episode, all the other things. That, or if they want to come to the event, it's gnmlive.com for those tickets. And look, I want to support them. And so obviously, like I mentioned, I did this mastermind with Mark, which is the Purpose of Movement Mastermind. Mm-hmm. I'd like to offer a gift of a free 30 days for any of your listeners who are looking to get involved in a mastermind, who are looking to learn, who are looking to level up and take their purpose and truly make it a movement. They can just go to purposeandmovement.com and register, and then somebody will be in touch to set up a phone call. It's just a free 30 days in the mastermind. We're not locking them in. We're not saying this is the end. This, like, give us $10,000 or whatever the case may be. Right. So come learn and be a part of it, because look, we are in a really weird spot right now. And I want to be able to help as many people as I possibly can. And so that's one way that I could do it.
And now I'm glad I asked that question before the final one. So I'll link all of that up in the show notes of this episode. So if you guys are listening, totally, that will be there. And that's an incredible opportunity to take advantage of. If you could have coffee with anybody in the world, who would you have, dead or alive, who would you have coffee with, and what would you want to talk about?
I would have coffee with my mom. And I would talk about the man that I've become in the last 4.5 years. And I would ask her what she thinks of it. Right. I would ask if she was proud to know that her pain is helping so many other people. Yeah, man, that would be an offer I could never, I don't even care who else you throw at the table, man. It's me and my mom and a cup of coffee.
Man, I there's a lesson there that's so deep that I like to talk about a lot, which I just would love to highlight, which is, you know, you don't control what you go through. You just go through it. But one of the ultimate human gifts is the ability to take that and lessen the suffering from somebody else. Like, that's, you know, the least and most we can possibly do with our experience. And I think you're doing it beautifully. And I, you know, you don't need validation from me, but the world truly needs what you're doing. So, man, thank you. And thank you for joining me and sharing your wisdom.
Rick, thank you so much, man. This conversation was great. Thanks.
Cool.